नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद्भागवतम् फर्स्ट कैंटो चैप्टर 17 पनिशमेंट एंड रिवर्ड ऑफ कली टेक्स्ट 4 पप्रच्छा रथम आरूढ़ कार्तस्वर परिच्छदम मेघा गंभीरया वाचा समारोपिता कार्मुकः पप्रच्छ रथमारूढ़ कार्तस्वर परिच्छदम मेघ गंभीरया वाचा समारोपित कार्मुकः पप्रच्छ रथमारूढ़ कार्तस्वर परिच्छदम मेघ गंभीरया वाचा समारोपित कार्मुकः पप्रच्छ रथमारूढ़ कार्तस्वर परिच्छदम मेघ गंभीरया वाचा समारोपित कार्मुकः पप्रच्छ इन्क्वायर्ड रथम चैरियट आरूढ सीटेड ऑन कार्तस्वर गोल्ड परिच्छदम एम्बॉस्ड विथ मेघ cloud gambhiraya exonerating bacha sound samaropita well equipped karmukaha arrows and bow translation by his divine grace Srila Prabhupada Maharaj Parikshit well equipped with arrows and bow and seated on a gold embossed chariot spoke to him the Sudra with a deep voice sounding like thunder please repeat after me Maharaj Parikshit well equipped with arrows and bow and seated on a gold embossed chariot spoke to him the Sudra with a deep voice sounding like thunder Raghav Pandit anuvad hua hai ha sab samajh gaya ओके हिंदी में अनुवाद हो रहा है क्या नहीं हो रहा है जरूरत है नहीं है शायद अंजू जरूरत है तो हिंदी में अनुवाद यू वांट टू डू या ओके कृष्ण विल ट्रांसलेट ठीक है बोलो पढ़ो 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 ओके अच्छा तो ये अनुवाद था हाँ तो समझ गए अब किताब बंद करो और हमको बताओ क्या समझा हाँ कैसे महाराज परीक्षित धनुर्वान से सज्जित होकर अपने स्वर्णमय रथ पर चढ़ के मेघ गंभीर स्वर में उस शूद्रों को संबोधन किया। और शूद्र कौन था? वो शूद्र कौन था? कली। वेरी गुड। सो नाउ यू रिपीट आफ्टर मी। Maharaj Parikshit, well equipped with arrows and bow, and seated on a gold embossed chariot, spoke to him, the Shudra, with a deep voice sounding like thunder. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. An administrative head or king like Maharaj Parikshit, with full majestic authority, well equipped with weapons to chastise miscreants, can challenge the agents of the age of Kali. Then only will it be possible to counteract the degraded age. And in the absence of such strong executive heads, there is always disruption of tranquility. The elected showbottle executive head, as representative of a degraded public, cannot be equal with a strong king like Maharaj Parikshit. The dress or style of royal order does not count. It is one's action which are counted. So Hindi, acha Hindi, give me the book, I will read the purport in Hindi. Hindi tatparja ka anubad, matlab tatparja ka Hindi anubad bhi main par raha hun. Okhane rakhi. दुष्टों को दंड करने के लिए हथियार से लैस राजसी अधिकार से संपन्न महाराज परीक्षित जैसा शासक या राजा ही कलियुग के गुणों को लालकार कर सकते हैं। तभी इस अधम युग का सामना कर पाना संभव हो सकता है। ऐसे सशक्त प्रशासनिक अधिकारी के अभाव में सदैव शांति भंग होती रहती है। चुने हुए दिखावटी प्रशासक अधम जनता के प्रतिनिधि के रूप में कभी ही महाराज परीक्षित जैसे बलवान राजा की समता नहीं कर सकते। राजवेश की गिनती नहीं होती, गिनती तो कार्य की ही होती है। समझे? ठीक है। ओके, डू यू नीड द बुक कृष्ण? नो। ओके, द symptom of the age of Kali is destruction of Vedic culture. The Vedic culture is based on Varnashram. Varnashram means the division of human society in four Varnas or classes of people and the four orders of life. So that is the general structure of Varnashram. or that's the general structure of the human society. In the human society, there are four classes of people. In every human society, these four classes of people are always there. Those four classes are Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. Now, are these four classes or four divisions made according to birth? No, it's not by birth. It is by qualities and characteristics and activities. Krishna himself mentioned that in Bhagavad Gita. Who remembers that verse that Krishna mentioned in Bhagavad Gita? Yes, Trivikram? Not Chaturvarnam, Chaturvarnam. Chaturvarnam Maya Shrishta Guna Karma Vibhagasaha. Chaturvarna means these four varnas. Maya Shrishta has been created by me. By me means by Krishna himself. Krishna himself has created these four varnas. How? Guna Karma Vibhagasa. According to the guna and karma. Guna means qualification. Guna means also the influence of the modes of nature. There are three modes of nature. What are those three modes? The mode of goodness, mode of passion, and mode of ignorance. So guna, the modes of the material nature, and according to the influence of the modes of nature, different individuals develop different characteristics. People who are in the mode of goodness, people in the mode of goodness are brahminical. Brahminical means, what is the actual meaning of brahminical? Brahmana. The word brahmana is coming from Brahma. Brahma is beyond material nature. Brahma is the spiritual sky. So those who are not interested in materialistic activities but interested in spiritual activities, they are brahmanas. So people, those who are influenced by the mode of goodness, their characteristic, their nature is like that. They are not interested in the materialistic affairs. They are interested more on spiritual affairs. So brahmana, brahma janati iti brahmana, or brahma bhuta prasannatma na sochati na kangshati sama sarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktiṁ labhate param. So that is the characteristic of a person influenced by the mode of goodness. Brahma-bhuta prasannatma. He is prasanna. Prasanna means satisfied. A person in the mode of goodness, person who is situated in the Brahma-bhuta platform, he is always satisfied. Why? Na shochati na kangshati. Because he does not lament for something that he lost, nor does he hanker for something that he doesn't have. Hankering and lamentation. A person who is situated in Brahma-bhuta platform, or a person who is in the mode of goodness, person with brahminical qualification, what's this brahminical qualification? Na sochati na kangshati. He does not hanker for anything, nor does he lament for anything. Dukhecha, sukhecha, bigata spriha, dukhe anudvignamana. He is not attached in happiness, he is not attached to a happy situation, nor is he perturbed by distress. anudvigna mana. His mind is not perturbed when he is in distress. So that is the qualification of a person who is situated in a mode of goodness. We can't just say that I am Brahmana because I am born in a Brahminical family. Also, I will say, if somebody just wears a Brahminical thread, that also doesn't make him a Brahmana. After initiation, one may get Brahmana initiation, but the most important consideration is the qualification. In our ISKCON institution, we have a system of giving Brahminical initiation, Brahman Diksha. But Prabhupada said that it's not that you are becoming Brahmanas. I'm giving you a chance to become a Brahmana. So one becomes a Brahmana by developing the qualities. If one does not develop the qualities of a Brahmana, then he is not a Brahmana. Whether he is by birth by Brahmana, by birth he is born in a Brahminical family, or even if one is initiated in a Brahman Diksha, one must learn to cultivate this qualification. One must become qualified, that is the most important thing. And qualification will automatically develop when one becomes situated in the mode of goodness. When one becomes situated in the mode of goodness, it will automatically happen. And what are the qualifications? What are the qualifications of a Brahmana? Shamo damo tapo saucham kshantir arjabam evacha jnana vijnanam astikam brahma karma sabhavajam. So these are the qualifications. Shama means, what is the meaning of the word Shama? Controlling the mind. Dama, controlling the senses. Tapaha, austerity. Shaucha, cleanliness. Kshanti, Kshanti is forgiveness. Arjabam, simplicity, sharalata. Evacha, jnana. Jnana means scriptural knowledge. Very good. Jnana, vijnanam, realized knowledge. Just studying the knowledge we get from the scriptures, that is jnana. And vijnana, when that knowledge becomes realized, then it is vijnana. And astikam, astikya, astikya means, let him say, fully believing in Krishna. Very good. Fully believing in Krishna. Fully believing in God. Astik and Nastik. Those who don't believe in God, they are Nastik. So Brahmana must be an Astik. Brahmana must be self-realized. Brahmana must be well conversant with the scripture. A Brahmana must be forgiving. A Brahmana must be very simple hearted. He's simple. A Brahmana must be austere. Brahmana must know how to control his senses and his mind. So, how many of you are wearing Brahmin thread here? How many of you have been initiated by Brahminical initiation? Okay. So, what you have to do? Are you consciously cultivating these qualities? You're controlling your senses? Many of you are silent. Everyone is silent. Some of you are shaking your heads. So, you're controlling this, controlling your senses. What is the taste of controlling senses? If Ganga Narayan Prabhu tells that today there is no prasad, how will you react? Then controlling of mind. If somebody is insulting you, but you do not become affected by that. That is the controlling of mind. Mind is running here and there, chanting the holy name of the Lord and very attentively listening to the holy name. That's the controlling of the mind. Austerity, yesterday in the class I mentioned, what is austerity in the age of Kali? No, I meant not yesterday, day before yesterday I mentioned. What's the austerity in the age of Kali? Just to follow the four regulative principles. That is the highest austerity. Now, meat eating, no meat, fish, eggs, onion, garlic. No intoxication. Not only opium, heroin, LSD, alcohol, but not even tea and coffee. Jai Shushi Gornitai ki jai, Jai Shushi Radha Madan Mohan ki jai, Jai Shushi Krishna Balaram ki jai. No illicit sex. For brahmacharis, no thought of associating with women. And for householders, sex life only for procreation. That is the meaning of controlling the sex desire. Not that only the brahmacharis and sannyasis and vanaprasthas will observe the vow of celibacy, but even the householders have to become celibates. How does a householder become a celibate? Householder is a celibate, but only when he is indulging in sex life with his wife, only for the sake of procreation. And for brahmacharis, there is no consideration of association with women. Not even in the mind. Not even in his thoughts. So please cultivate these qualities very nicely. Always remember that all of us, all of you, have come to Krishna consciousness to make spiritual advancement. Become very serious about your mission. Why should we waste this opportunity? If we have come this far, then why not go all the way? Why there is this dilemma, half-heartedness? Is it good to do something half-heartedly? You all are understanding my class? What I am saying? Who is not understanding? Please raise your hand. Don't feel shy. I'll make arrangements to be translated in Bengali then. Any Bengali doesn't understand what is Everyone understanding? Okay. So become very serious. If you are going to cross a river, then what, you have to get into a boat. Now if you get into the boat, but if you put one leg on the boat and the other foot on another boat, then will you be able to cross the river? What will happen? You'll fall in the river. Or you remember the story of the bridegroom's party going for a wedding? Borjatri, Vivaho, Borjatri party. The bridegroom, what happened? They started at night by boat. And naturally they had a big feast, so when they went into the boat, they all fell asleep and thought in the morning they will reach their destination, the bride's village where the wedding was supposed to take place. But in the morning when they woke up, what they found? The boat didn't move. They are still at the same place. They didn't go anywhere. So naturally they became very upset, because the wedding had to take place at a certain time. The bridegroom is here. He should reach there for his marriage. And they thought they would travel through the whole night and in the morning they would reach the village, and then they will be waiting. But now they found themselves just sitting in the same ghat on the bank of the river. So they started to chastise the boatman. You lazy boatman, what did you do? You've been sleeping the whole night. You didn't row the boat. The boatman said, no, Babu, I was rowing the boat the whole night. Then they said, why then the boat didn't move? And then they found that the boatman forgot to pull the anchor. The boats are stuck in the river with an anchor. Now if the anchor, if you want to move, then you have to lift the anchor. Can you keep the anchor? And then what will happen? You will go through the process of rowing the boat, but the boat will not progress. Similarly, if our attachment is to the material nature and we are going through the practice of spiritual activities, then will you make any spiritual advancement? No. So how do we lift that attachment? How do we lift that anchor? We lift the anchor by giving up all material attachments. We have nothing to gain materially. We are completely free from our material attachments. Isn't it important? So when we come to spiritual life, we should be completely committed. And what is material attachment? Material attachment means desire for sense gratification. Desire for sense gratification. Krishna will take care of us. We have surrendered to Krishna. Isn't Krishna giving us everything that we need? Isn't Krishna giving us everything that we need? Ganga Narayan? Yes. Giving. More than everything. More than we need. Yes. What is our need? Our need is prasad. That's the first need. Are you getting enough prasad? Nice prasad? Where's Vivashwan? He's in the kitchen. Okay. He's making arrangements for nice prasad. Everyone is satisfied with prasad. Then, nice place to live. Don't we have a nice place? I think in Ujjain this is the best place that one can live. All we need, actually we don't need all these facilities. We don't need these facilities. We can be happy even under a tree. But Krishna takes care of his devotees in such a nice way. We don't need anything, but Krishna gives. Krishna gives, Krishna provides. How? If a rich man has a good servant, will a rich man not take care of him? What do you think? If a rich man has a good servant, the servant is serving very nicely, what the rich man will do to the servant? Take care of the servant. So when we serve the richest person, the most influential person, most powerful person, Krishna, won't he take care of us? He will take care of us beyond our imagination. We may not want anything, but Krishna will take care. And our mood is, whatever Krishna wants, it's fine with us. And we are not attached. We should not be attached to any situation. Krishna may give us some nice facilities, but we should not become attached to those facilities. Because we should be ready to go wherever Krishna wants to send us. It's like an army. The government makes very nice arrangement for the army, soldiers, when they're fighting. But do the soldiers become attached to the nice arrangement? No. The army camp, army barracks are very well equipped. They have all kinds of facilities, nice place to live. They have nice clubs and they have all kinds of facilities. But when the government says, now you go to Ladakh, 20,000 feet up in the Himalayas, in the cold, severe cold, minus 40 degree, minus 50 degree, they said, fine. They don't say, no, I don't want to leave my house. I have so much nice arrangement in Ambala cantonment, so I'm not going to leave this arrangement. Can the soldier say that? No. Soldier has to go. So that is our mood. Wherever Krishna keeps us, we are happy there. Whether it is in the middle of Himalayas, in minus 50 degrees centigrade, waiting for the enemies to attack, any time a bullet can come and kill us, we are not worried. Or whether we are in a very nice arrangement in a big city with all facilities, there also we are not interested to that nice arrangement. That is how a devotee executes his devotional service without detachment. Detachment doesn't mean we give up, we don't accept. No. Detachment means not to be attached. That is the point that Srila Prabhupada was very emphatic about. This point was very beautifully made by Srila Rupa Goswami. Prapanchika taya buddha hari sambandhi vastuna mumukshubhi parityago vairagyam phalgu kathate. Prapanchika taya buddha, thinking something to be prapanchik. Prapanchik means material. Thinking that something is material, hari sambandhi vastuna, the things that are related to Hari, Krishna. হরিসম্বন্ধী বস্তু না, মুমুক্ষুভি পরিত্যাগ, ডিজায়ারিং টু অ্যাটেন লিবারেশন ইফ হি গিভস দ্যাট আপ, দ্য থিংস দ্যাট কুড হ্যাভ বিন এনগেজ ইন দ্য সার্ভিস অর থিংস দ্যাট আর ইন মেন্ট ফর সার্ভিস টু হরি, ইফ ওয়ান গিভস দ্যাট আপ, দ্যাট ইজ কল্ড ফলস রেনাউন্সিয়েশন, বৈরাগ্যং ফলগু কথ্যতে। And what is the real vairagya? Real detachment? Anasaktasya vishayan yatharham upajunjatah nirbandha krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagyam uchyate. Those who are falling asleep, wake up. Vijayananda. Dariye padu. তাহলে ঘুম পালিয়ে যাবে। ওকে, নাও ইউ ক্যান সিট ডাউন। ওকে, বসে পড়ো। অনাসক্তস্য বিষয়ান, অনাসক্ত মিন অনাসক্তস্য বিষয়ান, বিষয়ের বিষয় মিনস মেটিরিয়াল objects of the senses, the objects of our senses. Without being attached to the objects of our senses, objects of our sense gratification. Yatharam upajunjate, accepting everything that is necessary nirvandha Krishna sambandhe, in relation to Krishna. Whatever is necessary to render our service to Krishna, we should accept that without detachment. Without attachment. Anasaktasya vishayan yatharham upajunjata nirbandha Krishna sambandh, in relation to Krishna. And that is called yukta vairagya. That is called renunciation in perfect spiritual attachment. Spiritual attachment. Like here, we had to make so many arrangements. In order to make all these arrangements, we had to take care of so many things. Like we had to get bricks, we had to get cement, we had to get iron, we had to get marble to build the temple. Now are those materials material? The iron that we use, the bricks that we use, the marble that we use, the cements that we use, are they material? Priyavrata? Are they material? I'm asking you. No, they are not material, because they have been used in Krishna's service. Yeah, okay. They are material, but they are not material. Okay, why they become non-material? How they become spiritualized? Because it was used in Krishna's service. Right? But we are not attached. We built it not for ourselves, we built it for Krishna. We built it for the devotees. We built it to attract everyone to Krishna. So that is why you built it. We didn't build it for our enjoyment. We didn't build this temple to think, oh, now this is my kingdom. So we are going to enjoy in our kingdom. No. We are here just simply to serve Krishna. This is all Krishna's. And we are rendering our devotional service to Krishna. And we are thankful to Krishna that He gave us this opportunity. And if, as I said, like, we are nicely situated in a cantonment, in Ambala, or in Jodhpur, or what is the nearby cantonment here? हाँ मोहक ओके और आगरा बट देन द कमांड कम्स फ्रॉम द हायर ऑथोरिटी नाउ यू गो टू ले वेयर इज ले ले इज हाई अप इन द हिमालय 22 or 23,000 feet high. It's all covered with ice, not snow. Throughout the year, for years together, it's always covered with ice. You can't sleep there. You have to make special arrangements to sleep. The temperature is minus 50, minus 60. And sometimes it is seen, like I heard, that somebody went to sleep, in the morning they found that he is dead. The cold just killed him. But can the soldier say, no, I don't want to go there? Soldier just goes there with the confidence that, well, government will make all arrangements for me. I may be up in 23,000 feet high in the Himalayan mountain, but my government will make all the arrangements. The army will make all the arrangements for me to render my service. And the army has to make the arrangement also. The army cannot say, okay, now you go there and you make your arrangement. Where the food will come from, you find out. Do the army say that? No. The army supplies everything. If the soldiers have to fend for their food, then they won't be able to fight. Similarly, in Krishna consciousness, Krishna and Krishna's representatives make all the arrangements for the devotees to render service. And that's the point I have been always making, that the authorities, the responsible authorities, have to make arrangements for the devotees to render service. Then only they'll be able to make spiritual advancement themselves and help others also to make spiritual advancement. That is the most important consideration. As your responsible leader, जय श्री श्री गौर निताय की जय जय श्री श्री राधा मदन मोहन की जय जय श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम की जय एज अ रिस्पॉन्सिबल लीडर आई फील दैट इट्स माई ड्यूटी इट्स माई रिस्पॉन्सिबिलिटी टू टेक केयर ऑफ यू ऑल सो दैट यू कैन रेंडर योर सर्विस प्रॉपरली. But at the same time, I expect that you render your service properly. If you don't render your service properly, then I have my danda also. But on my part, I am prepared to make all the arrangements for you. Ganga Narayan, as a temple president, and he is hesitant to even present the bills to me because he is worried that so much money is needed, so much money is being spent. Ganga Narayan and Pradeep are always in anxiety. They come to me. Even Priyavrata the other day, he was telling me, how will the temple be maintained? So much money is needed every month. And I consider that's my responsibility as the leader. That's why I am supposed to be a leader. If I don't do that, then how can I be seen as a leader? If I say, okay, you all go collect the Lakshmi and I enjoy, that's not a leader. A real leader will, it's the duty of a leader to make the arrangements for the devotees so that they can, those who are under him, it's his responsibility to make arrangements so that they can execute their service. So, and on my part, what I am doing, I'll tell you the secret. I am simply depending upon Krishna. I have the full faith that I am serving him. And he will take care, and he is taking care. Whatever we are doing is because of him. He is making all the arrangements. And don't we experience that while rendering our service? Don't we see how Krishna is making all the arrangements? So miraculously Krishna make all the arrangements. We are stuck, often we get stuck. And then all of a sudden we see that how wonderfully Krishna made the arrangement and all the problems are removed. So anyway, to go back to the main point that we are discussing, the proper human society must follow Vedic culture. Vedic culture means Varnashram. The foundation of Vedic culture is Varnashram. Varnashram means according to engagement, according to guna and karma. A person in the mode of goodness is a brahmana. By nature he is a brahmana. A person in the mode of passion is a kshatriya. Now the qualities of a brahmana and a kshatriya, the characteristics of the brahmana and kshatriya are completely different. Brahmana is completely detached and a kshatriya is completely attached. Brahmana is not at all interested in sense gratification, and the kshatriyas live for sense gratification. Their whole purpose is sense gratification. They want to enjoy. But at the same time, his nature is very noble. He wants to enjoy, but he'll never steal. He'll grab. He will not steal. If he wants something, whether it is a kingdom or it is a beautiful princess, what will a kshatriya do? A kshatriya will say, well, I want it. Well, here is a beautiful princess. I like her, so I want her. And, okay, I am taking her. If anybody wants to stop me, come and stop me. And he'll fight. And in that battle, he may even die. But he's not afraid of death. And if he wins, he will enjoy. That is a kshatriya. Like Bhishma Dev, not even for himself. For his own brother, he took a vow of celibacy, a lifelong brahmachari. But Bhishma, Vichitra Virya, his stepbrother, needed to get married. But he was very young. So Bhishma decided to get some bride for him. The Kashi Raj, the king of Kashi, had three very beautiful daughters. Amba, Ambika and Ambalika. So these three girls were arranging to have their swayambara. They were about to select their own husband. But Bhishma Dev went there. Many, many kings and princes were assembled. Bhishma Dev went there and he declared, I am Devabrata. the son of Shantanu, King Shantanu. I am from the Chandravamsa, in the line of Somdev, in the line of the great noble kings. And this way he introduced himself. And then he declared why he came. He said, I came here to take these three girls, three princesses, for my younger brother, who is the king. But he is young, so I decided to get these three girls for his bride. Now, I am taking them. Now, if anyone wants, come and stop me. If anyone wants to stop me, please come forward. Saying that, he just took these three girls onto his chariot. And can you imagine all the kings with their soldiers surrounded Bhishma? And Bhishma fought alone and defeated them. So that's a Kshatriya. Krishna also, when he accepted Rukmini or Mitravinda. Mitravinda is from Avanti. The father, Mitravinda's father, had a condition that anyone who wanted to marry has to marry her daughter. His daughter had to go through this test. Defeat seven very, very ferocious bulls. And many kings came and they got injured, some of them even died. Because these bulls were some very unusual bulls, and not one bull, seven bulls, and one had to defeat the seven bulls and tie them up. You can't kill a bull. A follower of Vedic principle will not kill a bull. That makes it even more difficult. You can't kill the bull, but you have to subdue the bulls, and seven of them. And Krishna came. What did Krishna do? He expanded himself into seven forms. And he dealt with the seven bulls and tied them up. But even then, the other kings attacked. Same thing with Draupadi. When Arjun won her, all the kings became very upset and they attacked Arjun. Arjun fought. Arjun, sided by Bhim, Yudhishthir, Nakul and Sahadev, fought and defeated all of them. And that is how Bhishma recognized that this must be Arjun. Because otherwise, who can be so powerful to defeat all these kings? And that's why he sent a messenger. Find out where these Brahmins are from. Those Brahmanas who won Draupadi, and King Drupad, King Drupad and Dhrishtadyumna. And they send their spies. And then they found out that these are Pandavas. Bhishma also recognized this must be the Pandavas. And so that's the Kshatriya. Then Vaishya and Sudra. Vaishyas are in the mixed mode of passion and ignorance. Mixed mode of passion and ignorance means they have the desire to enjoy, but they do not have that strength of a Kshatriya to grab whatever they want. Therefore, they make money and buy things. By doing business, they make money, and with the money, they get what they want. A Kshatriya will not do that. A Kshatriya will not buy anybody or anything. A Kshatriya will not go to a departmental store to buy something. He'll rather go and say, look, I want this. So either you give it to me or fight with me. In today's age, the Kshatriyas are termed as mafias. Or the semblance of a Kshatriya is in the mafias, gundas. But the real Kshatriyas are not gundas. They are powerful. They are very noble. They get whatever they want by their strength. And they are very strong, very powerful. And they are not afraid to die. And then those who are in a mode of ignorance, they are the Sudras. So these are the four divisions that has been made by Krishna himself. Chatur Varnang Maya Shrishta Guna Karma Vibhadasya. These four varnas have been created by Krishna according to Guna and Karma. And in a society like that, the kings are very powerful, like we are saying, Parikshit Maharaj. He's so powerful, he is not afraid to stand up against anyone. And he is prepared to give punishment to those who are acting in a wrong way. You are acting in a wrong way? Okay, you'll be punished. Why punished? So that you learn what to do and what not to do. And so that everybody else also learns what to do and what not to do. That is a Kshatriya. He's a ruler and he establishes law and order. He protects the society. That's why he's a Kshatriya. So in a proper human society, these two varnas are essential. Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. Now through ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada is establishing the Brahminical culture. And now we are waiting for the Kshatriyas to come up. Because the Kshatriyas will implement what the Brahmanas are planning to do. Brahmanas will advise and Kshatriyas will implement. But in this age, the Kshatriyas, true Kshatriyas, they are not in the human society. Because the human society has become so degraded that they are just withdrawn themselves. When Satya Yuga will begin, at the end of Kali Yuga, they'll come out. There are many Kshatriyas still there. But they are not here because, why? Because they don't want to fight with the cowards. Like the other day I was mentioning, and the Kshatriyas, they are so proud that if someone is below their class, they won't fight with them. Like Jarasandha, you remember? He considered that Krishna is not a Kshatriya because he was brought up by the Vaishyas. He considered that Krishna Krishna killed his relative. Kamsa was his uncle and he killed. Therefore, he thought Krishna is sinful. But Prabhupada, in that respect, he makes a point that he did not consider that Kamsa killed his sister's newborn babies. His son-in-law, Kamsa, Jarasandha's son-in-law, Kamsa, killed 6 newborn babies and did so many atrocities. He put his own father in the prison. Jarasandha did not consider that. But he is considering that Krishna killed his uncle, therefore Krishna is sinful. And Prabhupada is pointing out that that is the nature of a demon. They always find fault with the sadhus. And they don't find any fault with their friends and relatives. No matter how sinful they are, they're perfectly alright. But the sadhu, even the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they find fault with him. Anyway, the result of that was that Kamsa, Jarasandha decided not to fight with Krishna himself. But of course, at the end, he was defeated, humiliated. He was so proud that he wouldn't fight with Krishna, but that ultimately Balaram bound him with Varuna Pash, arrested him. When he was standing alone, he lost all his soldiers, 13 Akshohini soldiers, he lost them all. And Krishna then told Balaram, that let him go. Let him go. This guy is he's useless. If he had any pride, then he would kill himself. He'd either enter into fire or just drown himself in the ocean. But he's such a coward, he's so attached to his life that he won't kill himself. So let him go back to his own house. A kshatriya will come to the battlefield, a true kshatriya again will come to the battlefield, either to win or to die. He won't run away from the battlefield. A wonderful example is, let me see which one was that. Yeah, when they were fighting with Narakasura, then Samba was injured, and his chariot driver, when he became unconscious, he took him out of the battlefield. Samba became unconscious. And when Samba regained his consciousness and he found himself out of the battlefield, he became very upset. He started to chastise the chariot driver. What did you do? Why did you bring me away from the battlefield? I should have died in the battlefield. And then he reasoned, look, you became unconscious. At that time, I had to bring you out to help you gain your consciousness. Anyway, then he went and he fought again. So this is the spirit of a kshatriya. He would not leave the battlefield. He will come to the battlefield with only two objectives. Either I'll win or I will die. Defeated, I'll not go back. Because that is considered to be the most dishonorable thing to do. That is a kshatriya. So, when the Vedic culture is established, then the society will have such powerful people to establish the law and order. Such powerful people to protect the society. Hare Krishna. So, Prabhupada is saying that when such rulers, such powerful rulers, kshatriyas will rule the country, rule the world, then Kali will automatically disappear. Kali will run away. And until then, what do we do? Do we take up weapons and fight? No. We simply chant the holy name and be happy. Whether in difficulties or in comfortable situation. We are always happy just chanting the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
Hare Hare.